Let's pray together. God, for some of us, just hearing the words of that song, it brings back memories that are really, really fresh and painful and hard. There's a little bit of a sense of hope, but for some of us, it's just really scary to think about where we've been and what we believe we're capable of. There are others of us that this is just, we're really disappointed we even showed up tonight. We came to have fun, to laugh, and to maybe hear something that would be a lot more encouraging than what we think we're in for. God, you care about everyone here, everyone listening. You care about all our friends and our neighbors and the people we don't know. You're aware of the suffering that people battle with internally. And you have what we need. If we'll be honest and if we'll accept it and if we'll share it. I pray that you would help all of us to have open hearts and minds tonight. And whether we're kind of dull or whether we're doing it through gritted teeth and tears, I pray that you'd speak to every one of us. We ask this for your sake and for our sake and for the sake of everyone around us. In Christ's name. Amen. So, some of you are thinking, boy, this is really a downer. It's not going to get any better. Some would say that suicide in the United States right now is at epidemic proportions. Just this year, there's a 12-year-old girl in D.C. at a charter school, popular, well-liked, and she kills herself. And no one had any idea that she was even at that point. This past Thursday, a guy's waiting for a murder trial. Being tried for killing his girlfriend and unborn baby, and he kills himself in his jail cell a few hours before the trial begins. A pastor out in California had been open about the difficulty he'd had with depression and anxiety, had gone away for a while, came back, and a very fast-growing church, young family, really real liked family, and he ended up taking his life. But we don't really think about that much until someone like Kate Spade or Anthony Bourdain. And for a little while, it's on our radar because these were celebrities. These are well-known people. Now, those that have had it hit more close to home, yeah, the high-profile stuff doesn't really do it. But for many of us, if it just doesn't stay on our radar. And this thing of suicide, we picked this because the statistics are scary. And if you're not up on it, I'm going to give you a handful of these things because we need to be aware of what's going on in the world around us and not that far away from us. There are those that are listening right now or watching that have recently been thinking about suicide. Some of you have attempted suicide in the past. Some of you have got people close to you that have. All of us in our sphere of influence, there are people around us that are just on the edge. So here's a few statistics that should get our attention. Suicide took 45,000 lives the last full year we have data for, 2016. That's double the number of homicides in that same year. Now, we hear about homicide all the time, but the number is staggering. 45,000 were successful, if you want to put it that way, in death by suicide, but there are 1.3 million attempts at suicide. 650,000 of them required medical attention. More Americans die by suicide than auto accidents. It's the 10th leading cause overall in the United States, the second leading cause in death of teenagers 15 to 24, and also 10 to 14. Older Americans, too. Older Americans, 65 and older, comprise about 13.5% of our population, but they account for 16.5% of the suicides in our country. There's one suicide in the United States for every 11 minutes we're here. for every suicide, this is another important thing to note, 147 people have been directly impacted by the suicide. 18 of them are going to have significant life disruption as a result of that. It's a huge deal. And it's around us constantly. I've got very close friends of mine, some that have been successful in their suicide attempt, some that haven't. But they have struggled with it, and it has been a life-dominating thing for them at certain seasons. There are two errors I want us to avoid at all costs. I want to be very clear about this. If you disagree with me, I would love to talk to you sometime. But there are two things that I hear regularly, you have too, and that needs to stop. The first one is this idea, this commonly held erroneous theological belief that suicide is the unforgivable sin, or that it's a one-way ticket to hell if someone commits suicide. I'm going to tell you, the Bible is our guide for our theology, and the Bible does not support that at all. Suicide is something, and we're going to look at some of the causes of it, but the way that someone has a relationship with God now and forever is strictly through accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. That means admitting that I need Him because of my own sin, and I need what only He can give me. I believe that He died on the cross for me, and I'm choosing to follow Him and put my life in His hands. That doesn't mean that I'm never going to sin again. I'm not going to fall into bad decisions. But those bad decisions aren't going to separate me from Him. And so when you hear someone say that in kindness, or in, I'd say being sternly kind, please stop them. Because when that kind of stuff is said, it is crushing to people around them that need to hear the truth and not some spurious kind of opinion that floats around. The second thing is this, and it's a belief that some have that, and you'll hear people voice this sometimes, that they'll say, well, that person that committed suicide, they're just a weak, cowardly kind of person. They're so selfish. When you hear someone say that, pull them aside, put them in a corner or a closet or the trunk of your car or something. Because all that, when someone says that, they're just proving their ignorance. It's easy for us to pontificate about stuff that maybe it's not something we've struggled with or we've had to deal with, or maybe we haven't been around. It's easy to come up with big opinions like this, but I'm going to tell you, they don't honor God, and all they do is cause harm. I want to go through a few things that relate to how people are tempted to end their life. I'm got a lot of sources I've used for this. This is from the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. You can find all kind of healthy information about this. But this is just some of the factors, and many times they're in combination. They're not just, it's not just one thing. And it very seldom that people don't attempt suicide just in a vacuum. It's something that it's built. It's occurred in an environment. Their physical and mental health issues, people that oftentimes they've got depression or something that's been causing them to be very, very anxious, maybe fear or guilt or shame. It could be related also to a chronic illness that they've had or some kind of undiagnosed issue. And in many cases, people that have these issues, they use substances, drugs, alcohol, and all this to try to numb the pain they have. Some of us, we think, oh, that person, they're just out of control. They're just drinking all the time or they're drugging. Maybe they're doing that because they're trying to stop these voices. They're trying to kill the pain that has been just eating them up. There's all kind of relational upheaval that can cause this. People that have been rejected or humiliated or been bullied, this 12-year-old in D.C., that what they're thinking may have happened to her. 5 years ago, almost to the day, we did a funeral here for a young 15-year-old that had just started South County, moved here from Georgia. Didn't fit in. Her parents didn't understand just how bad it was until they found her in a room. She had shot and killed herself. People have all kind of things that play into it. Some of you have been watching, and there was a case recently, a girl, her ex-boyfriend, she's texting him, encouraging him to go ahead and end his life. Go ahead and stick the exhaust pipe in the car. You can do it. Come on, do it. And he did. And then she's in court saying, well, it's his choice. I had nothing to do with it. She couldn't be any more wrong. She was an accessory to his self-murder, and she was convicted of it. Their financial setbacks, career setbacks, loss that people have. Sometimes when a friend or someone close has committed suicide, it opens the door for someone else, and we see this many times. We've seen it in the school system here in Fairfax County. There are people that have had abuse, either in their past and it's caught up with them, or currently. Could be a sense of isolation. I thought this was fascinating, but the number one state, the state that has the highest rate of suicide in the United States, Montana. It's the 44th smallest state by population. And what they've discovered is, in a place like that, there's a lot of isolation, and they've also done major cutbacks in mental health services. And so it leads the nation in the rate of suicide. Who would guess that? Most of us wouldn't. There's a sense of isolation that kicks in with people, and after a while, taking their life seems to make the most sense. It'll end the pain. It'll create, it'll be easier for everyone else if I do. What I want to say in this, and there's so much more, and there's some resources here that can help, but suicide is a permanent solution to what is most often a temporary problem. And it's permanent. And the thing about suicide is it's not only permanent for the person if they're successful in it, but it, remember we talked about the circle of influence that it has, 147 people in general and 18 in very, very specific, difficult ways. Psalm 30, verse 5 says this. It says, "Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes with the morning." The idea here is that we're not living in a world where it's just going to get better and better and better, and it's easier and easier and easier, and we're going to not have any more difficulties. They're way in the rearview mirror. Reality is we live in a broken world. There are things that happen, things that we cause, things happen to us. There are accidents, there's evil, there's all kinds of things. And there will be times when we are going to struggle, and we're going to hurt, and we're going to suffer significantly. But that's not the whole story. And we see this throughout what God promises. And so I want to, this first part of this, I want to focus for, this is for anyone who has thoughts of suicide. Maybe you've had them in the past and you think they're gone, or maybe you're struggling with them right now and you're thinking, why did I come tonight? I want you to understand this, you're not alone. It may seem like it, but you are not alone if you've been thinking this. If you're watching on TV or the computer because you don't want to show up in a crowd because you've isolated yourself, or if you're here. The thing is in this room right now and watching, we have a lot of people that have struggled with the temptation to end their life. Very seldom do we talk about it, but that's the reality. The statistics bear this out. When the service is over and you walk out in the atrium and you get a Coke, you're going to be surrounded by people that all seem like they've got it together. And in many people's minds, they're thinking, everyone here's got it together but me. I want to tell you right now, I wish there was some way where we could show reality of everybody. It would be real scary. We could only do it for a moment. But the temptations people have had, the sin in their life, the struggles that they've got, all the stuff that's happened to them, if we could just see it for a moment, we'd realize, boy, I'm not alone. In fact, man, these people are really messed up. I'm okay. I mean, the reality is none of us have it together. And the problem, though, is when I start sliding into this temptation towards suicide, as I begin thinking I am maybe the only one, or I'm alone. And the pain and the hurt and the struggle, it just feels as though it's just overwhelming and no one would get it. I want you to hear the next few passages I'm gonna give to you from the Bible. The first one here is 1 Corinthians 10:13. Listen to what it says, and this is a promise from God. It says, "The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience." I'm gonna say it one more time. The temptations in your life and mine are no different than what others experience too. Whether they've admitted it or not, we are the same. There are some unique features, yes, but the temptations, the things that are leading us to go in a wrong direction, we all struggle with that. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you're tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. Now, you may not like the way out. But his promise is this: he loves us, he cares about us, and he will not allow anything to come our way, whether it's other people's stuff, our own stuff that's built up, or what our enemy, the devil, wants to do. None of that will be more overwhelming for us than us having a way out a back door. That's God's promise to us. I think this pastor that took his life, I think part of what happened, and I don't know the whole story on this, is that he was pastor of a fast-growing church. And I think, and there's a temptation that you have when you've been in ministry for a while, that it kind of all falls on me. And if I step out, what's going to happen? And so an inordinate sense of importance, or I have to be there. And when I think what had been going on, and there's evidence of this, that some of the leaders have been encouraging him to step back, maybe even to do something entirely different. But the promise is God will give us a back door, because he does get us, he understands, and we need to remind ourselves, regardless of what sin is tempting us and what looks like inevitable, I need to remember that God will create a way where I'll never be able to say, I didn't have a choice. He loves us too much. And that leads to this second point, is that God fully understands and is ready to help. Even if no one else really understands or is approachable about it, he is. The perfect picture of this is what we see when we look through the New Testament and we look at Jesus' life. God could have done, there's all kind of ways he could have dealt with our sin problem. He could have sent Jesus just on a weekend deal. And I'm not being flippant about this at all. He could have said, they need a sacrifice. I've paved the way. I've led it all up through the Old Testament. So I'll have Jesus come. He'll do a weekend thing. He'll sacrifice his life, and he'll be resurrected, and it'll be good. But instead, he had his son come and live with us, and he left heaven to come be one of us. And he didn't come and live, and he didn't have a fine RV. He didn't live in opulence. He lived a normal, below middle class kind of life. And he struggled too. He experienced all kind of pain. He knew what the brokenness of this world was like. He understood it. He felt the pressure of it. He had physical pain. He had emotional pain. There was mental struggle. The night that he was betrayed by his best friend, it says that he was under such internal stress that Jesus sweated drops of blood. The capillaries in the surface of his skin burst. He was under that kind of pressure. He does get it. He knew what it was like to be rejected by those that should have been there for him. He knew what it was like to be abused and to have loss and rejection. And he did all this. He lived a life for 30-some years like you and me, so we would know there's a God that gets me. And he understands what I'm going through, and he understands what it feels like. He's not off somewhere. He's very aware, and he's listening, and he gets me. Listen to what Jesus offers us. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens. He doesn't say, come to me, all of you that have it all together. He's saying, if you're struggling, if you're hurting, I'm inviting you to come to me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you. Because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Now, I'm not spending a ton of time on this, but this idea of yoke and burden, it means that you and I were created for our lives to have meaning and purpose. And what happens is we get in trouble, and when we start following something that's not what we were meant to live for. It could be to please some people that we'll never be able to please, or it's to fit in with a crowd that we shouldn't fit in with, or it could be a career, it could be all kinds of things. And he's saying, you were meant for your life to have purpose. He goes, but you need to link it up with someone that's going to have your best interest at heart, and I'm the one. And just like an ox pulling a cart, he said, there's a yoke. I have this for you, and it's going to fit you perfectly. I'll never give you more than you can handle, but I'm not going to give you less, because you were designed to have an impact. And you can absolutely trust me. And even if you go through difficulty and pain, you will never do it alone, because I will be with you. I will comfort you. I'll give you rest. I'll help you. You will never be alone. You are not going to have to go through this alone. The third thing is this. If you're struggling with thoughts of suicide, tell someone you can trust. And this is really hard, because there's a risk that you take when you do this. What if I tell someone, and they don't care. What if I tell someone and they blame me? What if I tell someone and they just blow me off? The problem is if you and I keep secrets, they'll end up destroying us. And we build thicker and thicker walls. And we get lost in ourselves, and eventually we lose perspective on what's real and what's right. No matter what the factors are that lead you to think about ending your life, please confide in someone today. And if you don't have anybody that you can trust, and maybe you're in an environment where the people around you have helped create the problem, I'm giving you two resources down here. The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. I have a friend that actually works for them. And most of the people that man this, and then also the PRS Crisis Link text line, these are people that get it. They really do care. They're not, a lot of them are volunteers, some are paid, but they're doing it because, in many cases, because they've been there themselves and they don't want anyone to have to suffer alone. And the sad thing and the hard thing about this temptation towards suicide is that you come to a point where you just feel utterly alone. And it doesn't have to be that way. And I want to encourage you, if you're at that point or if you get to that point, that you would take the step. Write these numbers down. Put them in your wallet. Put them in your cell phone. All of us ought to have them available because we may need it for someone else. Now, for all of us, I want to give us an assignment with a couple of things to focus on. The first one is this, and there's Luke 6:31. Every one of us should memorize this and make this daily what we strive to live for. It says, is treat others the way you want them to treat you. And just real simply, this means if I want to be respected, I'll respect others. If I want people to have compassion for me, I'll have compassion for them. If I want people to be humble around me, I need to learn to be humble, understanding, non-judgmental, never gossiping. The idea here is that I need to do everything I can so I can become someone that others could trust. Because there are people in your circle right now that are going to be struggling. And you and I ought to decide we're going to sign up to be available to them so they would at least have one person they could go to that would be safe and understanding and care. But you can't just turn that on. If you're not living out this kind of thing, if where you're treating others the way you want to be treated, when they're going through a hard time, they say, I'm not going to them because they gossip. I'm not going to them because they're so judgmental about things. They wouldn't hear a word I say. So you and I have homework to do. We're going to do this golden rule thing where I'm going to treat others the way I want to be treated. So I'm now in a position where God could actually use me when circumstances come and people would know, here's someone, I believe it'd be worth taking a risk to trust them. Do something when you see the warning signs. I'm going to give you a list of some of these warning signs. These aren't in the notes, but I can email them for anybody that would want them. I got this. It's a great website. It's the American Association of Suicidology. Didn't even know it existed until a couple weeks ago. But there are people that have spent their time researching this growing concern about suicide. So here's some warning signs. When you see someone around you, when they increase their use of alcohol or drugs, and it's tangible, you can notice that. When they have they seem to have no reason to live. They've lost a sense of purpose in their life. They're growing in their anxiety and agitation, unable to sleep, or sleeping all the time. And you start noticing this in someone around you. Someone that keeps talking about how they feel trapped where they are, and they just constantly feel a sense of hopelessness. They begin to withdraw from friends and family and society and work, and you begin noticing they're not around that much. Sometimes they have a growing sense of rage and anger, and even maybe talking about getting revenge. Some will start acting reckless or engaging in very risky behavior, sometimes without even seeming to think. And another is drastic mood changes. You may know someone and they seem to be down and down, and all of a sudden one day they're up. They're just doing great. Be glad they're doing great, but there's some questions you need to ask. Because sometimes when someone's finally made a decision that they're going to end their life, there's a freedom that they can sense to have. And they need someone like you and me to come alongside and help them. There's some acute signs that you see from some people where they're threatening to hurt or kill themselves or someone else. You begin hearing them talk about looking for ways how they could take their life, whether it's a gun. And this is the studies show that men tend to use firearms. Women tend to use poison. Another stat on this, too, is that women tend to attempt suicide probably 3.5 to 4 times more than men, but men are more successful at it because they're using means that are much more deadly. And then if you hear someone talking about and or writing about death or suicide and all, these are signs. They ought to get the light ought to be going off on your dashboard. And if you're concerned about it, here's another one of these myths. If you're concerned about it, ask them. Have you been thinking about ending your life? And now there's one of these myths that float around. Say, well, if you say it, now you're putting that idea in their head. They've done tons of research on it. You voicing it isn't going to encourage them any more to do it than they were. What you might be doing by voicing it is saying, here's someone that might understand. They've used the suicide word. They've asked if I've thought about taking my own life. You've become someone that they might decide they can trust because you've stepped into their world. You've taken some initiative. And if they say yes, do whatever you can to help them get some help. And stay with them through that. You've got these, you've got the suicide hotline. You might take them to someone that they need to see depending on their age and who they are. But don't give up on them. Stay connected with all that are involved. And I'm going to explain what I mean with this. If someone has been thinking about the idea of taking their life and then they don't, well, stay close to them. Stay connected with them. The fact that it's passed doesn't mean it wouldn't come back. It doesn't mean it will. But sometimes out of our own discomfort, we just try to, I just want to pretend everything's okay. I don't want to go there anymore. You want to be God's man or woman on the scene to care about them and to keep the channels of communication open. Another thing that happens is when someone has attempted suicide, is some people get very scared and just run away. It's the last thing we ought to do, because that's communicating to that person you really are alone and maybe you're just too much. Don't give up on them. And then another point in this, too, about staying connected is, and this has happened multiple times to when someone is successful in ending their life, those that are left behind have got huge gaping wounds and questions. And all too often what happens is their circle of friends and all back away. They're uncomfortable. If someone had been killed in a car accident, they know what to do. But if it's suicide, all of a sudden, I don't know what to do. I'm uncomfortable with it, and I don't know what happened here. Did they cause it? And so we end up out of our own concern for our own comfort, we back away. This is the time not to do that. Stay connected, get involved, pray for them. Offer to be part of their life to the degree they can. You don't have to constantly talk about what happened, but you don't want to abandon people when they're hurting and when they're struggling in the loss. I've got a couple people that are close to me. That have helped me understand this more than I ever would have otherwise. I almost lost one of them. It was very, very close. And it's helped me see just how arrogant and how ignorant I've been in the past. How easy it was for me to judge somebody that was tempted with something that I personally haven't been, but I've learned a lot from being around friends that have. God has called you and I to live in a broken world, not to avoid getting in the mess, but with His strength and with His presence and His power to get in it with people. bunch of years in a row, I did these Tough Mudder races, which is kind of goofy. I mean, you go out and you're getting dirty and muddy and you hurt yourself and you're bleeding and sweating, and it just seems, you know. And here the goofy thing about that is there are people that are willing to do that and risk their health and all that kind of stuff. But when it comes to getting involved in the mess of other people's lives, I'd rather go do one of these races. God wants you and I to be deeply connected as his partners in the lives of people around us. Don't miss it. You and I get to be part of his rescue mission. This is what he's called us to. This is what we get to do. There's a take-home sheet that you've got. It's got a lot of other passages in here, things to dig in a little further, and I hope you'll take some time and do that individually or collectively. If any of you are struggling with the temptation of ending your life, you've got two numbers on here that you can call or text. I'll be glad to talk to you after the service. I don't want this. This is not something to be flippant. You may have some people in your life that you need to open up to, like now. Don't give up. God won't give up on you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, there's nothing about this that is feel good. But there are some things about this that are really good, and that is, in a broken world where we hurt ourselves, where we mess up, where others do it, where there's just so much confusion and struggle, you are right in the midst of it, offering us healing and hope, offering us perspective where we've just kind of gotten lost in our own thinking. You're not a God that is up in heaven just throwing out judgment. You're a God that came down here to give us a hand to help. And you invite us, no matter what condition we're in, to come to you. And I pray that anybody that is here, anybody that is listening, that they would understand that you love them, you care about them right this minute. They're not alone. And they don't have to suffer in silence. I pray that they will reach out to you, trust you, and find that you offer what we all desperately need. I ask this in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.